Now, the epistle for the eighth Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, the eighth chapter. Brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you shall die. But if by the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. For whosoever are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again in fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption of sons, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. For the Spirit himself giveth testimony to our spirit that we are the sons of God, and if sons, heirs also, heirs indeed of God, and joint heirs with Christ. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 16th chapter. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. There was a certain rich man who had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said to him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for now thou canst be steward no longer. And the steward said within himself, What shall I do? Because my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. To dig I am not able, to beg I am ashamed. I know what I will do, that when I shall be removed from the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. Therefore, calling together every one of his Lord's debtors, he said to the first, How much dost thou owe my Lord? But he said, 100 barrels of oil. And he said to him, Take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then he said to another, And how much dost thou owe? Who said, 100 quarters of wheat. He said to him, Take thy bill, and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward for as much as he had done wisely. For the children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of light. And I say to you, Make unto you friends of the mammon of iniquity, that when you shall fail, they may receive you into everlasting dwellings. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. If heaven shall be shut up, and there shall be no rain because of their sins, praying in this place, they shall be converted. These words are taken from the third book of Kings. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. St. Therese the Little Flower tells this powerful story in her autobiography. On a certain Sunday morning, I was kneeling in the pews. As I closed my missal after Mass, a picture, or a holy card, of the crucifixion slipped a little out of my missal, and I could just see one of the wounds in our Lord's hands, with blood flowing from the sacred wound. The picture pierced my heart with sorrow to see his most precious blood falling with no one bothering to catch it. And I made up my mind then and there to stay in spirit at the foot of the cross, to gather up the stream of heavenly life and to give it to others. Continuing, St. Therese tells us, The cry of Jesus as he hung upon the cross, I thirst, echoed repeatedly in my soul, inflaming my heart with a burning love for him. I longed to satisfy his thirst for souls. I was consumed myself with this same thirst, and I yearned to save souls from the everlasting fires of hell, no matter what the cost. It was shortly after that Sunday morning when St. Therese saw that holy card, which inflamed her with love, that people were talking much about a notorious criminal named Pranzini in Italy. And this Pranzini had been condemned to death for several brutal murders. And as he was unrepentant, He was not sorry, and there was no sign of remorse or changing his life. It was presumed that he was going to lose his soul. But after St. Therese heard that, all this gossip and speaking of this man who was condemned and that he would presume to be lost, she was on a mission. She said, St. Therese said, "I longed to save him from that final tragedy. So I used every spiritual means in my power. Deep down in my heart, I knew that he would be saved, but I wanted some encouragement to go on and search for souls. And so I told God very simply, 'My Lord, I know and I am sure that you are going to forgive this wretched Pranzini. And I have so much confidence in your mercy that I shall go on being sure, even though he does not go to confession or show any sign at all of being sorry. But because I am calling him my sinner and my mission, please give me just one little sign to let me know.'" St. Therese then tells us, "My father, my dad, does not usually like to read the news, but the day after Pranzini was executed, I rushed to read the paper and turned to the bit about my sinner. And guess what I found? Tears came to my eyes and I had to rush out of the room. My sinner had gone to the scaffold without confession or absolution and was being led to his death by the executioner when he suddenly turned around. A priest had been holding out a crucifix towards him, and as if moved by some miraculous grace, Pranzini turned, seized the crucifix, and kissed our Lord's sacred wounds three times. This was my sign," St. Therese continues. "This was my sign, and it touched me very much, that it had been the sight of those same wounds of our Lord and the blood flowing from them that had given me the thirst for souls. I had wanted to pour our Lord's precious blood upon the souls of sinners to wash away their sins. And here was my first sinner pressing his lips to the sacred wounds of our Lord and being rescued from his eternal punishment. I am sure of it. I know that our Lord has a thirst for souls, and he will answer it if I do my part." This doctrine, my dear faithful, which St. Therese recommends to us, that we ought to pray for souls, can be found in our Baltimore Catechism. First of all, the basis of this doctrine is based on the Catechism answer that says, "Prayer is necessary to salvation, and without it, no one having the use of reason can be saved." That is, each one of us must pray in order to go to heaven. And prayer is not the only thing necessary, but in this life, we must make sacrifices and labor to achieve salvation by our works. And following this principle, the Church teaches that by one's prayers, sacrifices, and laboring for salvation, one person can pay that price for another person. By that I mean that if a man, perhaps, named Edward, for instance, does not pray enough, his wife, Olivia, can fill that void. She can pray and sacrifice to make up for her husband and to help his soul get to heaven. And thus, one person's prayers and sacrifices can pay the price of another. And this is why Our Lady told St. Lucard, the Belgian nun, "Now I want you to pray, for sinners will be saved by your prayers." But on the other hand, as Our Lady of Fatima tells us, When we neglect to pray for others, many souls are lost because they have no one to pray and sacrifice for them. Just as one example, my dear faithful, without the 34 years of prayers, tears, and penances of Saint Monica, her son, Augustine, would never have left his sinful life, converted, become a priest, a bishop, and a doctor of the church, Saint Augustine. Without her prayers, where would Augustine have ended up? Now, it is the doctrine of our faith that this power of praying for others is based on what is called the communion of the saints. And by this communion, the members of the church can assist one another, whether in heaven, on earth, or in purgatory. And this the greatest example, of course, of this paying for another is the opening of the gates of heaven to us. Our Lord purchased our redemption by the pouring out of his precious blood. That is, by his passion and death on the cross. He, the invisible head of the church, opened the gates of heaven for us, the members of his church, by giving his life for us. The next greatest example, again, of course, is the Blessed Virgin Mary. She never committed a single sin or fault herself. Yet, she endured great sorrows and tribulations, and she offered them for us, earning for us countless graces and blessings. The Blessed Mother was happy to endure these sorrows because she wanted to make sacrifices for souls. She had a burning zeal for souls, for she knows our Lord has had a desire and a thirst for the salvation of souls and still has it. And a similar hunger and zeal, my dear faithful, burned in the heart of Saint Therese, motivating her to pray, to sacrifice, and to win the soul of the infamous murderer Pranzini, as well as countless other souls whom we do not even know. But notice what Saint Therese said in her autobiography. She said, "I used every spiritual means in my power." And also notice her confidence and see the result of her confidence and efforts. For a seemingly lost soul, a murderer, Pranzini, Therese pleaded the case before God. And by her sacrifices and penances, she rescued Pranzini from the very pit of hell. Solomon, in the Old Testament, gave a sermon or a speech in the third book of Kings, chapter 8, with a similar point. He raised up his hands towards heaven, and he stormed heaven with his prayers. And he explained to us and to all men, and said that even if heaven shall be shut up and there shall be no rain or fruit because of men's sins, even so there will be conversions by our praying and our penances and by suffering afflictions or sacrifices. We too, my dear faithful, you and I, can save souls by our prayers and sacrifices. This is what we can do for our family and our loved ones, for our friends, and even for strangers. This is what we can do to save our country. And this is what we have to do to save our country today. Do we not all have a family member who has perhaps fallen away from the faith? A friend who is confused or does not understand our position as traditional Catholics? Do we not all know someone who is sick, a lonely person who is bearing a heavy cross and who has no one to help him, or who needs our prayers? We can pray for those who do not pray. We can sacrifice for those who do not sacrifice. and we can earn heaven for those who are not giving it a thought. If you want souls to go to heaven, then you must pay the price. Pray frequently and perseveringly for your intentions, especially those dear to you. Pray to the Sacred Heart to beg His infinite mercy, and pray to our loving Blessed Mother. And join sacrifice to prayer. One convenient way to make a sacrifice, and something we can do every day and many times a day, is sacrifice at meals. To give just one example, you can eat a little bit more of what you do not like, and you can eat a bit less of your favorite. And this little, minuscule penance is one we can perform every day. It is unnoticeable, so it doesn't inflame our pride, and it can silently win numerous souls into heaven. My dear faithful, Saint Therese the Little Flower burned with love and zeal for the conversion of sinners. She did this by her unending prayer and by her sacrifices. Let us too have that same exact zeal to pray and sacrifice for souls and for sinners, for our loved ones, and for those who have no one to pray for them. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.